Hey everyone, welcome back to the Morning Coffee Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Alexander. This week I'm going to be breaking down the evolution of Christmas and some of the symbolism and ideas that are associated with it. As always, if you guys get anything out of this episode, it would mean the world to me if you would share it with a friend. And if you have the time, since it is the season of giving, if you would head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review, it just helps me get the show out there to more people and continue to do the work in the world that I absolutely love. Thanks again for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Charles Dickens said that Christmas Eve is the witching time for storytelling. Welcome back to Morning Coffee. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Whatever you celebrate, whatever your thing is, I hope this time of year is treating you well. This week, I'm going to release a series of episodes on the evolution of Christmas. And so I want to talk about the symbols and the ideas and the traditions we have, where they came from, and how we might use that understanding to learn more about ourselves and what we're doing here and why we do what we do. And that to me is the importance of tradition in the first place. You know, it gives us a way of orienting ourselves in time and space. And I never understood that my whole life. Like, why do we celebrate our birthday? And why do we celebrate these different holidays? The reason we do is because it gives us order, it gives us habit, it gives us structure in which to understand where we're at in time and space. The human psyche, when it's not rooted in any kind of habit or routine, begins to unravel really quickly. Like, I got out of the military and didn't have to be at work. I no longer had a routine. I didn't understand that I had to make one for myself for the first few months. And so after the initial exhilaration of like, oh, I'm free, I actually started to unravel kind of quickly. And it really hit me how important it is to have a good understanding of tradition in order to orient yourself in the world and make sense of where you're at in time and space. Now, Christmas is interesting because it's based, well, we're going to get into what it's based on, but it's largely based on the birth of Jesus. And so that's interesting too, right? Because it's always hit me. You know, I follow a contemplative Christian path. I think the way I'm going to break these down for you this week is you don't have to buy any of the divinity, any of the spiritual aspect if you don't want to. And you can still learn a lot about who you are and what we're doing here. But I personally follow a contemplative Christian path. But even when I didn't, one thing that always fascinated me was how our calendar is set off the birth, death, and life of this Jesus figure. And the reason that's interesting is because the implications of that is that without that person, without his life, we actually don't know where we're at in time and space. And so there's something very orienting about the symbolism of the person in the first place. And so first, let's just go back like 2,000 years to the Roman Empire. So what happened is the Romans went around conquering all of these different tribes and nations and regions and countries. And when they did, what they would do is they had a pantheon of gods that began with the Greek gods, but they had this really liberal religious policy. And so what they would do is they would just capture you and say, look, you have to serve the state, but you can pray to and worship however you want, whoever you want, very much like kind of modern America is today. And so this was the case with the Jewish people as well. Like, they were kind of conquered by the Romans and living as exiles in their own country, right? And Jesus was actually killed as an enemy of the state because he professed a God that was higher than the states, right? Essentially, that's what happened there. Now, very interesting. They went through about 300 years of persecuting people who did follow this Jesus figure. And then in the mid-4th century, the Roman Emperor Constantine had a dream about this Jesus figure, and then he put crosses on all of the shields of the Roman Empire before they went into battle. And then they won the battle. And so then what happened is that the entire Roman Empire was converted to Christianity through the Edict Milan on the back of Constantine, this emperor. And that was a really intense thing because you imagine all these people have been allowed to worship their own gods and they've been persecuting Christians, like feeding them to tigers in the Colosseum and all lions, all kinds of stuff, like martyring them in public, like really brutal stuff. And then all of a sudden this became the religion of the day. So one of the reasons that a lot of our traditions today are a combination of sort of Catholic and also pagan traditions, just imagine you have all of your traditions today. Now imagine that the state comes and says, you can't pray to who you pray to anymore. You can't celebrate these traditions. Well, the way you would integrate that is you would still keep the best of what you could from your own tradition, but then you would also try to satisfy the people that were going to kill you if you didn't do what they said. And so the result was an amalgamation of our holidays, the Catholic holidays and the pagan holidays. Now, Christmas is a combination of the pagan holiday Samhain and then also the Catholics' All Souls Day. And so there was a belief that most people held that there were certain times of the year where the veil between the living and the dead was thought to be the thinnest. And what that meant was that the dead could actually cross over into the living. The two times where that was thought to be, the veil was thought to be the thinnest was during the harvest. Now that became Halloween. And then also during the winter solstice, and that became Christmas. So the idea that Christmas was associated with darkness and ghosts was quite prevalent. So in England in the 18th century, for example, Christmas was actually, it was kind of waning. And you could look back through the evolution of Christmas, and we're going to talk about different figures and symbols this whole week. But there were times where it was really popular, and then other times where groups would try to get rid of it. And so the Puritans were trying to get rid of the celebration of Christmas. Kind of think about it like maybe if you know any Jehovah's Witness today who don't believe in the celebration of these things. And so that was what the Puritans were doing back then. And so Christmas was actually kind of waning, but it was still popular to, especially in England, for people to come together on Christmas Eve and tell ghost stories. Now that became the starting inspiration for Charles Dickens. So anyone that has written before probably understands this, but as a writer, you're really not making things up. It's more like you're discovering things, and you're kind of like a channel for whatever it is you're writing, wisdom or stories or archetypes or whatever. And so when Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol, he started with that, sort of grounded in that knowledge that Christmas was this time where we did tell ghost stories, and it was an opportunity for the dead to cross the veil into the world of the living. And he really struggled with this story because he didn't want it to necessarily go the way that it did, but he couldn't, you know, get the story to do what he wanted it to do. He couldn't get Ebenezer Scrooge to do what he thought he should. And so he really struggled against this idea that these ghosts from the past and the present and the future would come and tell him how his story goes. Now, I think that there's something about this right now that we can really learn from, because this time of year, we have a couple week break from our rat race and from being really myopic to our lives and the things we're in, their jobs, whatever it is we do for the other, 340 days a year. Here, we often have a time to kind of step back and just reflect, as I said, think about setting intentions going forward. Now, one of those is actually looking at the story you're living, right? And so what happens in A Christmas Carol is that these ghosts kind of cross over into the living with a message. And you see that motif in all kinds of different stories. It happens in the Hebrew Bible a bunch, the idea that spirits kind of come here with messages for the living. And so this is exactly what happens, right? Ebenezer Scrooge realizes the way that he's living is a tragedy. This story does not end well for him. And so then he kind of changes his ways. And when Charles Dickens published this story, it kind of started to revive Christmas. As I said, the tradition itself was sort of waning on the back of the Puritans. And so then, as soon as he published this book, it was sort of an instant classic in 1843. Charitable giving went through the roof the week after Christmas, because I think a lot of people read this story, right? They see themselves in the stories. Any stories that are worth a damn are stories about us. They resonate with us on a deeply human level. And because of that, we can learn things about ourselves. And so people in that story realized that they too might be living a tragedy, and that maybe there's more to this life than just themselves. And so then what happened is, as Christmas kept evolving and kept moving across, it went through the Celtic traditions and then across the Atlantic to us, Halloween ended up winning the holiday that became really associated with ghost stories. And all we really kept was the Charles Dickens A Christmas Carol. And that's been remade, by the Muppets did a version of it. Jim Carrey was in a version of it. There's cartoon versions of it. And the reason being is because now when we have this moment, we have this space from our routines and from our stressors and from our anxieties and from the things we worry about day to day, 345 days a year, we have an opportunity to reflect and say, are we living a story that we're even going to be proud of? Now, there's another way, too, that I wanted to explain how darkness is associated with Christmas, and that's the motif of the birth of Jesus. And so, in the Bible, Jesus is associated with truth, right? He's the birth of truth in the world, essentially, is what's happening here. And also, he's referred to as light in the Bible, right? So he's the personification of light in the world. Now, truth and light, we think of those and we think, yeah, those are really good things. And they are, unless, of course, you're not in alignment with them, right? And then they're not good at all, right? Then they actually represent a kind of destructive element to the world. And so what happens is when light and truth are juxtapositioned into a society that doesn't understand them, it's actually more like hell than it is a good thing, right? For the people that again, are not in alignment with them, right? Like, truth is great, but if you're not in alignment with truth, the last thing you want to hear is that, right? Think about the person that's sort of cheating on their partner or something and not living in integrity with the truth that they're actually professing from their mouth, and then they find out, right? And then the truth is exposed. The truth is actually not a good thing at all. And so it's worth considering and just asking yourself, like, huh, am I in alignment with the truth that I profess or not? You know, we could say the same thing about light, right? Light is really good, especially if you're lost in the dark. But think about if you go down into a cellar, right? That hasn't been inhabited by people in a really long time, and you just turn a floodlight on. Well, think about all of the creatures that live in the darkness. What do? They scurry away. Right, they sprint, they look for the darkness and they sprint out in every direction. Right, think about the rats and the mice and things of that nature. And so understand that what happens is anything that you talk about in a literary way comes with implications. And so the implications of light and truth being personified in the world is that it gets juxtapositioned against what's not that. And so it does create this element that invokes fright and invokes terror in people. And so one of the famous lines of Jesus is that the truth will set you free. It's like, yeah, that's true, unless you're denying it, right? Unless you're not in alignment with it, right? Unless you don't want that because it will expose something about yourself that you've not brought into alignment with truth and light. And so I say that just to say, you know, we have this crazy time of year. It's been a really intense year. It's been a really stressful year in a lot of ways. But now we have a minute reprieve where we can take a break, right? We can reflect on light. We can reflect on truth. We can reflect on the story we're living. And that to me is what really creates an incredible opportunity to celebrate Christmas in a way that like furthers the development of who we are. Anyway, that's how I've experienced it. I love you guys. Have an amazing day. We'll talk tomorrow with Christmas episode number 2.